There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Right, let's see what we missed whilst everyone was sleeping, but some of the world was awake.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Should we talk food first?
Oh, go on then.
Perfect vegans are ruining it for the rest of us. Have you seen this story?
I haven't, actually.
What a shocker. Vegan chefs and social media stars are being bullied online, not by nugget-wielding meat eaters, but by fellow vegans. It is ironic, oh. Alanis. It's so ironic. So people switching to plant-based diets in their droves for lots of different reasons, I guess. Environmental, economic reasons. Have you got on the vegan wagon yet?
No, I used to be a vegetarian. Used to be.
What happened?
I don't eat that much meat these days, to be honest with you. I don't know. I grew up on a farm, so it's really hard for me a little bit.
I get that. I married someone who grew up on a farm. Same kind of thing.
Mm.
I'm vegetarian though, and I'm nearly vegan. I still eat eggs and I still eat cheese every now and then, but just, milk is completely gone.
Oh, I like my father sit there and chug it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it is a good move. I think we know that now, to be eating less meat, even if you don't give it up altogether. However, for some vegans, only perfect veganism is going to be acceptable, unfortunately. So Jack Monroe, who's 30 years old, he's an activist and a chef. He published austerity recipes after, you know, trying to make ends meet as a single parent.
Mm.
What I have found since going vegetarian is that I've got a lot more money in the bank.
Have you?
It's way cheaper.
Wow, okay.
When you get to the till after doing a weekly shop, man, you haven't got the meat in there and it's just so much cheaper, especially if you're buying organic meat, which I was before.
It's a good incentive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, organic chicken, you're looking at about 130 dirhams for a chicken.
Wow.
So if you take that out of the trolley, then you're really saving some money. So he decided to become full vegan several years ago, but soon started getting negative comments from perfect vegans for his interpretation of being a vegan. So the first book due out in August is called Cooking on a Bootstrap, full of kind of accidental vegan recipes designed for people who are on tight budgets, who need to save a bit of money. Mm. There's a lot of people like that right now. And he said, I've had negative remarks online. I've been harassed by a very small handful of vegans, once for having a photo of a paella dish from one of my old cookbooks on the website. Do you know what they actually did? It's awful, this. They went onto the Facebook page of this person and they printed detail. Well, they wrote a post on there about how disgusting it is that they're saying they're a vegan, but then they've got this picture up on their website. Anyway, death threats and harassment within minutes.
Unbelievable.
Online.
Unbelievable.
And you know, part of me thinks, I don't know how much of that is real. I think there's a lot of people out there who love to just jump on a hate bandwagon, whether they care about something or not. Ella Woodward, you might know her better as Deliciously Ella, a clean-eating restaurateur and chef. Do you follow her on Instagram?
I do. She's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, she's really good. She switched to a completely plant-based diet for health problems. Mm. She encouraged us to do the same. But when it was revealed that her new restaurant, would include non-vegan options and even meat and fish dishes, some vegans have been absolutely outraged by this. Despite explaining that she wouldn't eat the meat herself, bullies swarmed in. Many people posted online messages attacking her dirty use of meat. And they also accused her of cashing in on being a vegan.
Ah, really?
Mm.
So just kind of jumping on the bandwagon thing.
But this bullying, I think it gives veganism a really bad name.
I think there was one story that really kind of, I was very surprised at. So there's a lady who was a vegan and she the ice cream truck came round to the local community. There was a little girl that ran up and she realised she didn't have enough money for the ice cream that she wanted. So the lady bought her the ice cream and she posted about the nice little story online. And then once people clocked on that she was a vegan, they were like, how dare you buy this child an ice cream when you're a vegan, da da da. Da, 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 and all the rest of it. And it's like, hang on a second. You're doing something nice by buying a crying child an ice cream and you're now having a go at this lady. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Can we all just agree, each to their own?
Exactly.
It's a nicer world when you do it like that, isn't it?
Yep.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Well, a story that is as far from veganism as is humanly possible. This is a school trip that I'm not sure all parents would want their children to go on, actually. It's a petting zoo with a bit of a difference. First you cuddle the animals, and then you learn how to kill them.
Oh no.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise.
A stately home in the UK is about to open the country's first farm attraction with a bit of a grisly extra feature. They've got exhibits displaying a former abattoir to show how the animals are turned into meat. What do you think?
Well, I kind of sit on the fence with this one because unfortunately there are so many kids these days that don't know where their food comes from.
Not just kids.
Well, this is true. A lot of adults as well have no idea where their food comes from. So from an educational point of view, fine, but I think you could probably get away without the interactive part if there is one.
There isn't. There's no killing. Like,
thank
the kids
goodness.
Don't do any killing themselves. In the barn, the animals were once stunned with a blow to the head before their throats were cut. That doesn't happen in this barn anymore. Now, old and modern methods of turning cows into steaks are explained a few steps from where calves can be stroked.
Yeah, that's a bit weird, isn't it? But
shouldn't be.
But again, growing up on a farm, I totally get it, but yeah.
It's part of an educational project. It's called Field to Fork. Do you like this? It opens in July. Visitors can also try horse ploughing.
Do that.
Cheese making.
That sounds like fun.
And beekeeping.
Yeah, I'm all up for those.
Last week, 2 8-year-old girls, they tried this. Macy's a little vegetarian. Emily is a meat eater. They both visited the abattoir and they learnt the origin of an English breakfast. But moments earlier, Macy had been playing with the animals. Now, her mum, Karen, said she doesn't like it. She hasn't eaten any meat since she saw a trailer full of lambs pass our house and she asked me where they were going. That's a difficult conversation to have with your kids.
It is a bit, yeah.
Emily, though, who was the meat eater, she thought it was really cool.
Really?
I guess it just comes...
Yeah.
Depends where you're coming from, doesn't it, with your attitude. The owner of this brilliant new educational experience, I think it's brilliant, she's called Carol Milano, and she says there's a lot of animal petting farms. Nowhere, though, that children can get the full experience of a working farm. People are losing touch with where food comes from. How do you feel about it? We don't have any kids.
No, I don't. But like I say, growing up on a farm, I was very, very aware of what was happening and going on with all the animals and all the rest of it. Like I say, so many people have no idea where their food comes from these days. It is a good idea in theory.
Sticking with food, and I've got a hypothetical question for you this afternoon. Next time you go out for dinner with your husband or your wife or your friends, would you like to be confronted by the amount of calories in each dish on the menu?
Eat it. Just eat it.
This is being considered as a way to tackle obesity. Is it a good idea?
To be honest with you, I do get food from a lot of places that do have the calorie counts on the menus and they tell you how much protein, fat and everything is there as well. So I do it all the time. I order from places that do this already. So I actually find it really useful, yeah.
But when you're going out to a fancy restaurant...
I think it helps to a point. I think it's always good. It's always good to know how much food you are consuming.
I don't want that in a posh restaurant.
You don't want to know about that 3,000 calorie pasta dish that comes from a certain place here.
Not. I think I know which place you're talking about.
It was all over the press a few years ago.
No, I think if I'm going out for a fancy dinner, then I would just want to go out for dinner and not be affected by it. I've got Marcus in here from next door, from the green room, and I'm pointing at my text screen saying, can you ring this person? Because I would like to get them on to play the 100 before
okay.
We go to the headlines. It's really odd to produce whilst you're on air, isn't it? So yes, this is happening in the UK. I think it could work here, though. I think a lot of people might like this. A lot of people here work out. They care about what they look like. They're body conscious. I've seen them as I drive past the gym. They're also looking at a new strategy to include rules to ban the sale of chocolate bars and other unhealthy snacks near supermarket checkouts.
That's the worst thing ever, isn't it? You get to the checkout and everything's on the belt. You go, oh, I'll just have one of those and chuck it in my basket as well. It's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, this gets me every single time. And do you know what? I do not like chocolate. I'm not someone who actually would pick up a chocolate bar, but they're so good next to the till that when I see them, I think, oh, that would make one of my friends happy. My husband would quite like that.
Do you know why they put them there specifically? Because it's the kids. The kids go up and pick them up. But parents, can I have this? Oh, yeah, strategy.
Really?
I suspect that's why.
Amazing.
What are you going to do? You're going to say no and tell your child off for picking up in front of all the cashiers and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
The proposal to introduce out-of-home calorie labelling is already in force in New York. So if you go out eating in New York, you might see this. It's going to cause uproar in the food industry, though, which has been lobbying for years to resist the move. Do you know what I wonder as well, though? I wonder about whether fancy restaurants would be able to do it, because I've seen chefs on telly and they're always throwing in a bit of butter, a little bit of salt here. Like, how would they keep track of how many calories are actually in a dish?
Well, you just add to taste, don't they, really?
Yeah, but they add calories. If you're going to add butter, then you definitely
add more.
Yeah,
but that's what I mean. They add to taste, not necessarily measuring everything out, so they can't.
Yeah, I don't think it would work in fancy restaurants.
Guess.
Would it put you off, or would it just help you make a more sensible choice? I would welcome your input on that. Would you welcome this in Dubai, having the calories on a menu?
This is The Ticket.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.